The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Powell hit the first, missed the second, 3 seconds to go. Lopez has it, final second ticks off. The Toronto Raptors, the first team to win a road game in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're headed home to Canada with a 3-2 series lead. Final score in Milwaukee, the Raptors 105 and the Bucks 99.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like he should be at the free throw line more. They have a couple of guys that are veterans. They're very crafty that seem to get there a lot. You know, Lowry, when he drives, you got to be incredibly disciplined. He creates a lot of contact and is rewarded for it. Giannis, you know, creates a lot of the same contact and doesn't seem to get the same whistle, get the same reward. But, you know, I think the officials, they got a tough job. They do the best they can. We'd love for Giannis to get to the free throw line more, feel like he deserves it.
We're not going to fold, man. Come on, man. Best team in the league, man. We're not going to fold. We're going to go and go and give everything we got. We're not going to go there. And even they said, you know, they set a great tone and they come out and hit us in the mouth first. We can't fold. You know, we're going to come back to Milwaukee being pissed. Like, you cannot fold. You got to go out there and give everything you got. If we lose, we lose. Okay, cool. But we're not going to fold as a team. And that's not what we do.
Well, sometimes folding's a good thing. Maybe not in basketball. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday.
Oh, I love that song.
I love this day.
It just lets me know we've made it, Fred.
Yeah,
we made it.
Almost. We got to get through 3 hours here.
Yeah, I mean, we can all do that.
Well, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, not just you. I'm welcoming everyone.
Oh. Yeah, them too.
Do you want to get in today? Don't bother with the phone lines because we don't take calls on road shows or on Fridays usually, but mostly because we're on road shows on Fridays. Best way to get in is to hit us up via Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You got the Facebook page. You can send messages and Aaron will answer those. There's also the text line. You know the number for that, 713-780-3776, just in case you don't. And it is a Friday, and it's a double Friday, really, because we get a 3-day weekend.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Tyler, you have big weekend plans?
No, not really.
You're just going to lay around?
Yeah.
Because you had previously said you can't work on Memorial Day.
Why would
Before everybody was off on Memorial Day, you were like, I can't work on Memorial Day.
Well, no, I just said I wasn't going to come in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't have any reason not to come in. You were just
I mean, I can, like, make something up if you really want me to.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to – I like to gauge how dedicated everyone is.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, I mean, Barry is apparently the only person dedicated.
No, Barry's pissed.
To do a show.
I know. I screwed Barry over.
Well, it's your first go-round, but we never work Memorial Day.
We typically don't.
No, we never have. This is the one holiday that we always take off because we work almost every other one.
I feel like I've worked Memorial Day before.
Not since you've been here.
I think I have. Maybe you didn't.
No, I don't think so. We've always – this because we always go through that stretch of holidays that we never take off.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last one we took off?
I don't know.
Probably the first. And even then – I don't think we took the actual holiday.
Well,
so we always do this one because we never do Labor Day because it's always in the middle of football.
Yeah, I always work Labor Day.
MLK Day is always in the middle of...
President's Day is the one we get off.
I don't think we get that, do we? But we don't take it off.
I don't know which one's a federal holiday, MLK Day or whichever one.
No, MLK is, but yeah, okay. But there's always something going on then. We work Good Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the one that we consistently always take off.
So what I had done originally was say, okay, who wants to work? and whoever wants to work, I'll run. I'll do shows with them until, you know, we don't have more shows, and then it'll just be national programming the rest of the day. And it was going to be me, Barry, John Granato, and Charlie. And then Charlie was out, and then John Granato was out. So now it's just me and Barry. And, I mean, I wasn't really all that thrilled about working anyway. I was only going to work because some of my guys were working. I don't want to be, you know.
Yeah.
But now it was down to just me and Barry. And even David Gow, when I mentioned it in the meeting, was like, maybe everyone should just be off that day. And I was like, okay. So then I told Barry that everyone was off. And, of course, he's pissed off at me. Barry's always pissed off at me.
Well, because but you heard the last segment, right?
Oh, I heard it, yeah.
That's why.
I don't do enough to nurture his comedy career. That's my responsibility.
Well, I think the worst thing that's going to happen is he has to drive back and doesn't get to stay in a hotel.
Okay. He's going to have to drive back eventually anyway. So
yeah, but no, I was actually surprised you asked me because we always take this one off.
Well, I'm new to this gig.
I know. I probably should have said that in my response.
The best thing is he's still sitting in the studio working on something, but he unplugged his headphones, so he has no idea that y'all are talking about him, or else he would probably have made me turn on a microphone by now.
I don't need his microphone on.
He just got to.
He just had 3 hours. He had just a 15-minute crybaby session. So
I'm pretty sure you were at the river last year on Memorial Day.
That's possible.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you usually take a trip like that around this time.
Well, I'm taking that trip next week.
Next week, yeah.
So I'll be gone Thursday through, I don't even know when I'm coming back. I think Thursday through Thursday, and then I'll be back the next Friday. So,
yeah.
Maybe it hit Memorial Day. I don't know. It's possible.
All your replacements lined up except for like one day where I haven't quite decided yet. So, and then I'll be gone June the 12th through whatever that next week is. So I'm going to go up and play the senior event and then fly straight to Canada after that for a week. So I'm sure it will be a good time for all. This is the time of year where...
This is the time I want people to take days off.
Well, yeah, we need to because it's been a grind, and it's kind of cool that... I realized it today. We're out at Sam Houston Race Park, by the way, last weekend of live racing, which won't be back until next January. So if you want to come see some live racing, you got tonight and tomorrow night. But it also makes my life a lot easier because I've been having to do the picks and everything else.
Oh, that's like when college basketball ends.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like I feel like I'm a free man.
Yeah, so because between this, really, the month from doing all the draft stuff that we did on SportsMap to the Derby to the Preakness to doing picks out here, and then, oh, by the way, the other stuff that I usually do, it's a lot of freaking work. It's a lot more than I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
But now it's nice and smooth. I'm actually going to start working on a couple of fiction projects and get some time up at the lake, and I'm going to get to play in a poker tournament for the first time, a real poker tournament for the first time in a long time. So it's relaxation time.
There you go.
And get some reading in, too. That's the other thing. 713-780-ESPN, if you want to text the show. 713-780-3776, because I've only got one text, and it's somebody on the do not read list. So.
Oh.
Okay, here's one. Get Brad Powers to co-host. You know, we've had RJ do that before. He can't do it anymore, though, because he's got
his own show to do.
He's got his own show. And
Brad does that show every day.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, we did that once when you were out, and RJ did the whole show, and it was really good. But it's also one that I don't think would work doing it all the time.
No.
But
that's also tough to work with someone who's...
Yeah, when they're not in the same room.
Yeah.
And we
kinda, I try to avoid that all the time.
Well, RJ and I finally got it down when we were doing the pregame line. We just put a Skype on there so we could see who was doing what. And it worked pretty well, but it took us... Well, we did that show for a year.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 6 months to figure that out the rest of the time. But it's not ideal, obviously. So what did you think of the game last night?
Let me go ahead and overreact. The series is over. The Raptors are the best. The Bucks have no chance in this series. They might as well not even play Game 6.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah, that's a good overreaction.
Good. I mean, it was impressive. And Kawhi Leonard is he's on a different level right now. I'm starting to think that the Warriors might rather see the Bucks than the Raptors if Kawhi Leonard's going to be that.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with the wife last night about this, who was getting extremely excited about her Raptors, and I just said, hey, it'd be great if you guys made it to the finals, but you're not beating the Warriors. I mean, that's a good basketball team. Both of these are good teams.
Yeah.
And I said this yesterday. I feel like if they were playing anybody but the Warriors in the championship, I'd like either one of these teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to convince myself that they can win just because I want to be more interested in the finals. But it's really hard for me to sit here and say I think this team has a shot. Now, Kawhi Leonard has been fantastic. And as long as he plays like that, they're going to win a couple games, but I don't think they can win the series.
The problem is, I remember having to force myself to get up to see LeBron versus the Warriors. And as good as Kawhi is, he's not LeBron when he's playing, like when LeBron's in full beast mode carrying a team to the finals, LeBron. I just don't know how much of a series either one of these teams will give you.
Yeah, I like what Kawhi has around him. I think they've put together a pretty good...
I don't know. Kyle Lowry sucks.
Well,
right now.
Kyle Lowry is basically playoff James Harden for the most part. He had a really good game 4 when they tied it up.
Yeah.
But you can't count on him. He's inconsistent. But some of these other cats, I think Gasol was a good addition, even though he's not, Mark Gasol from 4 years ago.
Right.
Still a really good player. Same thing with Serge Ibaka. I mean, they've got some guys who, while not great anymore, can step up and be great every now and then. And if you just get a different one, you're doing all right. And I just think it's a nice little team. But having said all that, and boy, the wife and all her Canadian friends are excited as hell now. They really – part of me wouldn't mind seeing the Bucks win the last two.
Just to piss her off.
Yeah, just as a dream crusher.
Yeah.
But, because I mentioned this the other day. Like with the Raptors and the Jays, they're not – just Toronto's team. They're the whole country's team.
Right.
And everybody in the country roots for them.
Will you be cheering for the Warriors if they play the Raptors in the finals?
Nah. I can't cheer for the Warriors. They're as great as they are, I want to see them beat, because otherwise it's just boring. And it's going to be another title, and you're going to say, oh, we're going to talk about the Warriors' greatness, which is all true. But it'd be fun to say, wow, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
I always like the underdog, unless I have a rooting interest. So I'm not gonna root against her Raptors, but I can't root for the Warriors.
Fair enough.
I want to see them beat. So
I think I'm cheering for the Warriors.
You always cheer for the Warriors.
You've
got a Steph Curry tattoo on your
Packers. I like them a lot. I mean, I don't know if it may change if they put Kevin Durant out there and they turn it, they go back from being the Warriors that I love. Right. And when they have Kevin Durant, I like them just fine, but they're not the same team that I love.
And they're more fun to watch without him. And it doesn't mean that they're better. It just means they're more fun to watch.
They're way more fun to watch and way easier
although
to cheer for, I think.
Although the numbers say they're better.
Yeah.
But I can't. They've won enough. I can't cheer for them. Plus, I'm a fan of Steph Curry's game, but I just hate him. He's just a little punk.
His
little stupid mouthpiece.
You're Joe James Harden fan.
No, I'm not. Yeah, you know how much I love James Harden. A team that had Harden and Curry on it, I could never, ever watch. I would just stop watching basketball. Ugh. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Fred Fowler from The Blitz, and if you listen to our show, you probably know that I enjoy drinking alcohol. But you know what I don't enjoy? Feeling crappy in the morning. And if I'm honest, it doesn't take much these days for that to happen. That's why I take Cheers every time I drink. Cheers is a supplement you take after drinking to help you feel better the next day. Like an antacid for alcohol, Cheers is scientifically designed to neutralize alcohol's negative effects so you can wake up feeling great. No more headaches, nausea, sluggishness, or pain, and it's healthy for your liver, too. To use Cheers, simply take 2 to 4 capsules after your last drink or before going to bed. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, you'll get your money back, no questions asked. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up, and your liver is going to thank you. So order today, risk-free, at CheersHealth.com. Order by 4 o'clock, and the product will be on your doorstep tomorrow. That's CheersHealth.com, or you can find it on Amazon. Cheers, the best thing to happen to alcohol since, alcohol. CheersHealth.com.
is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park for the final weekend of Quarter Horse Racing. And we'll have Chris Griffin, the track announcer out here, drop by at some point this hour. RJ Bell and probably friends in the 6 o'clock hour. As I think there weren't a lot of people on the roads today, so maybe everybody took today off too. Hopefully you did get your 4-day instead of a 3-day. But if you are working or you are stuck in traffic, are driving home, stick with us. We'll get you home in one piece today. One thing we didn't mention from the end of that game, how often do you see a coach complaining that his guys weren't called for a foul when Kyle Lowry got tackled?
Well, wasn't that part of the report that the Rockets sent out that had they called the foul on Capella, there would have only been a chance at two free throws, and the likelihood that he would have made two was low, and instead Steph hit a three, and it was a two-point swing?
Listen, the Rockets have more reports out there. It's longer than War and Peace. I'm not going to go into all that.
Okay.
But I thought it was funny because, I mean, they mugged Lowry, and then they were just begging for a call. And at that point, the game wasn't over. But, boy, that was a good one.
Ooh, excuse me.
420.
It's Topo Chico.
Yeah, I don't understand. That's one of those things that's like Chick-fil-A to me. I don't understand why everybody is so into it.
I mean, I'm not into it. It's just, it's water.
I know, but everybody I know walks around with that and swears by it. And I've had it, and it's okay. But I'm not going to, like, seek it out.
Sometimes I just drink it because I get tired of drinking regular water.
Yeah.
Okay. And I drank my energy drink early this morning.
Ah.
So rather than go with another energy drink.
You limit yourself to one a day?
Try to.
So I usually do two. I do one in the morning when I get up, and then do one before the show.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, I try to do one a day because I'd like my heart to keep ticking. Yeah. But.
Hearts are overrated.
Yeah. And then if I go lift and I take pre-workout, then I can't take any.
Well, yeah, that
takes the place of all energy drinks for the day.
Yeah, I actually got to the gym for a long time today. Today is the first day in a long time where I haven't felt rushed, where I just like, I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to go do a show.
You ain't from Russia, so bitch, why you Russian?
So
by the great American poet, Nelly.
But yeah, I finally got to the gym, and then I finished in plenty of time, went by the office, took care of a couple things there, got out here with about 30 minutes to spare, played a couple races, just all nice and laid back and serene.
All right.
Getting ready for my 3 days. You guys got anything going on?
Baseball. Yeah, that's it.
Even on Memorial Day weekend, you guys have baseball?
Yep.
They playing Monday too, or just?
No, just Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Well, at least you have Monday to do nothing.
Monday, I think I said yesterday, I'm going to go up to B-52. That cow food truck is up there at B-52.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll make that trek for some good beer and some good Cajun Asian food.
I actually have no plans whatsoever yet for the weekend.
Is your wife gone still?
No, she's back. She's back. So.
She probably has some plans then.
Well, we haven't really had a chance to talk too much about it. So, but my one plan is I've got everything set up for SportsMap that's going to be posted over the weekend. So I'm not doing any work, not 1 minute of work. Unless there's an emergency. And if there's an emergency, it better be like a big one. Like okay. The site's crashed or somebody's posted something that's going to get us sued. That's not a challenge, by the way. So don't be trying to do that.
Okay, I'm good.
Well, you can't post.
No, I can.
You can put it in there, but you can't publish it.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I've only had like one person that can do that besides me and Josh, and that's because I don't want to have to edit every single Astros game thing.
Oh, okay.
So, AJ is a former service member. I appreciate your video with Yuval. Great reminder for the true meaning of Memorial Day.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and that's on SportsMap, speaking of. It's on the editor's pick, so go and check it out. There's a lot of good stuff today. Fridays are always busy, and I know a lot of people are already heading out of town and things like that, but if you want some good reading and some good videos, Joel got into the Chris Paul, James Harden thing, as did Palillo in his column. Jerry Bowe's Bookie Busters, Nerds Around Town, Juggalo Trey's NASCAR preview, and, of course, my picks for Sam Houston tonight. What do you think of this Harden-Paul thing?
I don't think much of it. I mean, I think it's two teammates who were frustrated because they were getting beat in a series, and that if you're going to have – I mean, if they were winning, they probably wouldn't be arguing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, remember early in the season where – when the Warriors weren't playing their best ball and everyone was, I mean, Draymond was a cancer. And I mean, that's just how, that's how teams work. When there's, when things aren't going well, guys point fingers, guys get upset with each other. Guys are more sensitive to things. When things are going well, there's harmony.
I don't want you hugging when you lose. I want you pissed off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you need to get pissed off at an individual, but I want to be pissed off when you lose. And I think it's one of those much ado about nothing things, and by next year, because they'll still be playing together because no one's trading for that contract, it'll be fine. And as long as they're winning, great, it'll be harmony. But if not, then you'll have blowups like this. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And man, a lot of other stuff that I kind of wanted to get into. I've got plenty of sports stuff. But this one I find interesting. I don't know if it's too late in the segment to get started on it. The Spun did the 10 most intimidating stadiums in college football. Your Aggies didn't make the list.
Really?
Which I they'd be on my list. Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this before, but they have here's their list. Number 10, Nebraska. Intimidating?
I don't think anymore. I don't think anybody looks at, like, oh, Nebraska, how are we ever going to win at Nebraska?
Well, I got to be honest with you. Nebraska, great environment, maybe the best fans I've ever been around. Not really intimidating to me. Georgia's Sanford Stadium between the hedges. I could see that making the list. Wisconsin's Camp Randall. Oklahoma's Gaylord Family Memorial Stadium. More intimidating than A&M?
I mean, they're probably, this is, it also helps that they're probably winning.
Yeah,
more.
But I mean, it should be on the list. But yeah, I'm just Jordan Hare for Auburn.
Okay,
Penn State's Beaver Stadium.
Beaver.
Number four, which would be number one on my list, is LSU's Tiger Stadium.
Okay,
and I think part of this, you're right, teams that are winning, because Alabama and Clemson are 1-3 on here. I mean, and that's because they're the best teams in the country.
It doesn't all have to do with the stadium.
But I mean, if you're talking about an atmosphere, and like Ohio State's on there, I wouldn't fault that either. But if you're talking about a place, if I were a player, that I would be intimidated when I walked through there, then LSU's got to be on that list. Be higher on that list. A&M's got to be higher on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're just saying the most intimidating teams, well, let's just pull the Clemson and Alabama every year.
Well, but I think when you think about Nebraska, I think, was there a time when it was intimidating for teams to go up there? Because, yeah, it used to be impossible to win there. Now it's not.
Yeah.
Same with A&M.
Although, again, I think the atmosphere is a little different. I went there twice, I think, and it was in the height of when Nebraska was good. And it was a very different kind of a fan base. I mean, it was a tough place to play. And, yeah, I'm sure it was intimidating. But they were not the kind
nice
of
nice guys.
They're nice guys.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw stuff at you.
Well, they're nice guys when they're winning.
Yeah. I don't know how they are when they're losing because I haven't been there. But they applaud the opposing teams that won. Remember when Texas went in there and beat them? They stood up and applauded them.
And, I think Texas A&M, I think it's one of the most unique college football environments. But is it really intimidating? I don't know.
Dude, I get intimidated just being in there, and I'm not playing. When they start doing the swaying and stuff at the fourth quarter, I kind of feel like an alien race has taken over and I'm about to be killed.
There's all these dude cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't scare you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something about that dog. that dog frightens the hell out of me. 409 says Chris Paul's probably still mad Harden burnt down his kitchen.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Anyway, just thought that was I just thought it was weird that Aggie didn't make it. That's all. Hey, we were talking about...
Aggie will hang that 11th place banner, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. See, I can't even say nice things about them without you, yeah. But I will say nice things about Texas Mattress Makers. And guys, guess what? They're not going to be open Memorial Day. We're talking about the video that you've all did with AJ. And a lot of these places, it's funny, I was driving here and I saw another mattress place, like their big Memorial Day sale. Well, Yuval's about treating Memorial Day for what it's supposed to be.
and not trying to make a bunch of money off you. So if you're looking for a mattress, instead of going and doing something there, go to Texas Mattress Makers tomorrow. Get your new mattress now. And you're going to be doing business with people who are respectful, who are honorable, who are big in our community. And, oh, by the way, they just want to put you on the best mattress they can, and they don't want to charge you out the ears for it. Because if you go to any other mattress place, you're paying 50% right off the top because you're having to pay retail prices. They're making the mattresses at Texas Mattress Makers. They're selling them directly to you. They're putting you on the mattress that you're going to sleep best on, not the most expensive one. And what's great about that is you might walk into one of these other stores, you might be buying a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers, but you're not getting it custom fitted, and you're not buying it directly from the factory. So you're spending too much money, and you may not even wind up on the right bed. You go to Texas Mattress Makers, they're going to get you on the right bed. Visit them today, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. But don't visit them on Monday because they are going to be closed. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Matt Pauly.
Tune in to the Charlie Pulillo Show weekdays at 11 on ESPN 97.5. Houston Astros baseball. Tough one yesterday. The offense doesn't show up. They fall to the White Sox by a 4-0 score. A lot of credit going to White Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito, who pitches a four-hitter for his first major league shutout. The team continuing to play with Jose Altuve and George Springer might have affected them a little bit yesterday. Up next for the Astros, they'll begin a series against Boston tonight. Wade Miley is on the mound. Left-hander goes into this evening's game with a 4-2 record and a 3.51 ERA. Yesterday, an off day for the Rangers. They're back at tonight as they open up a series against the Angels. Drew Smyly on the mound. I'm Matt Pauly with this sports update on ESPN 97.5.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And, you know, I think this story that I brought up is one of the one where it's basically there's two different things. And they did it based on it's intimidating. When you say intimidating stadium, I think of the crowd. I think of the atmosphere. And, you know, usually the team has to be pretty good. But there are some places where the teams haven't been that good and it's still a tough place to play. They did it on just how good the teams are, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think Michigan, you could easily make a case to be on that list.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you've been to a game at Kyle Field, especially since they've rebuilt that sucker, and it feels, and what, 100, however many thousand, 100,
100 plus, million people.
All kind of sitting on top of you. And to me, that's an intimidating atmosphere. Now, the team, that's a different animal.
Right.
So I think it's a different discussion. I think what they did was the teams. But I've been to OU. That's not a place that, I mean, it's a really good crowd.
It's one place I've never been.
Yeah. Well, I guess because you would have always seen.
I saw them in Dallas.
Yeah. I went up there for a UH game
once
a few years ago. And maybe that was part of the atmosphere. It's like they knew they were going to stomp them. So there was no it was kind of 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I've got my SportsNot did five MLB players who aren't living up to their contract.
Okay.
I want to see if you agree with them.
All right.
Buster Posey. $22.2 million.
Boy, Buster Posey is washed. I mean, it's gotten bad.
Well, he signed like an 8-year, $150 million contract or something like that. And he was okay for a while, but yeah,
he's done.
Yu Darvish, Chicago Cubs, $20
million. Yeah, not looking good so far.
Boy, he's $81 million left on that deal, too. That was one that I was surprised.
I think he might have gotten broken.
Well, I think so. I think the Astros pretty much, once they dismantled him, and that's not the kind of signing I would have expected from the Cubs. I remember at the time, I mean, that's a smarter organization than that. It's like, wow, what, this guy's tipping his pitches and he just got hammered like this. Do we want to give him this much money? Joey Votto, $25 million.
Yeah, Joey Votto also, I think, pretty much washed.
Well, I didn't realize Rick Porcello was making $21.1 million.
You know what, though? He's still young enough. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, and his whole career has been kind of a roller coaster. You know, that guy went from being a bust as a prospect to winning a Cy Young and then looked like he was back into a pumpkin and then was great again. I won't count him out.
Yeah, he's – and – I mean, while not good, his ERA is still under 450. It's not like he's out there throwing sevens.
I mean, there's a lot of guys on that Red Sox team that struggled out of the gate, so I'm not gonna freak out over him.
Yadier Molina, $20 million at the age of 36.
How much more do they have to pay him?
He'll be owed an additional $20 million in 2020.
Okay.
So they got him this year and next year.
Oof. Well, that ain't good. But hell, you know what? Yeah, I mean, if you want to pick apart contracts, how is Bryce Harper living up to his so far? Manny Machado?
Yeah, but it's halfway through their first season. It's not even halfway. But I do think that's a really, I mean, it's a fair question to ask. But, you know, these guys are all at the tail end of them.
I mean, Rick Porcello was pretty damn good last year.
Yeah.
So to he's got a bad start to the season. Now he's not living up to his contract. I don't know if that's necessarily fair.
Okay. That's why I asked.
Fair enough.
713-780-ESPN is your number.
We've got I'm actually kind of bummed. I wanted to carry Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals if there is a Game 7.
Yeah.
It's the same night as Game 1 of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Usually they're pretty good about, you know, mixing and matching those two so that you have one on each night. But that sucks. There may not be a Game 7, though. That may solve it for you.
Might.
If Drake can come through.
Well, we'd carry both. We'll carry both the NHL and NBA Finals, but it would have been nice to carry that game.
Hmm. So we have to carry Game 1 as opposed to Game 7?
Yep.
Okay. Well, fine. Go Raptors. Get it over in six so we don't have a conflict.
There you go.
See, this is the stuff you have to worry about now as a pro, because this is what used to drive me nuts being at the Chronicle. You'd have to root for certain things with teams that you don't really want to do just so that it would play out the way you needed it to for work purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of like that with sports maps. Like, yeah, okay, if the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors, great. If they're not, just go ahead and get swept. So it's not the right mindset, but it's kind of how you feel sometimes.
Hey, I've got a sex advice. I saw this was, and it kind of made me laugh. You know, those, it used to be like Dr. Ruth. People would write in for sex advice.
Yeah.
And someone wrote in with an issue that she has. And
this isn't the one in the elevator.
No, that was not just sexually related.
Okay, just checking.
That was just poop. She says, when I had sex with my first boyfriend when I was 17, he finished very quickly, within a minute. He was embarrassed. I told him it was normal. I think I confidently asserted this based on teen movies and that he would last longer the next time. The thing is, he never really did. Every time we had sex, after maybe a minute or two, he'd have to get out of there because he'd be done. And yes, he tried thinking of other things. The other thing is, I started to really love this. It turned me on so much that he couldn't help but lose it with me. We did plenty of foreplay with me barely touching him. So it wasn't like, you know, sex was lasting 5 minutes every time. We ended up dating for 6 years, and he'd never lasted too much longer than he did the first time. Well, we broke up last summer, both took post-college jobs in different cities, and had sort of outgrown the relationship. It was amicable, and we keep in touch. I've had a fun time exploring sexuality, because up until then, we had more or less been each other's only partners. My problem is, I miss my two-pump chump. Some guys can go a really long time
this
and seem
such a fake
proud of their stamina.
This is such a fake.
But my vagina gets pretty tired after a few minutes, and I'm not sure if this is a thing, but I think it's almost a fetish for me now to have a man finish quickly. I find myself seeking out premature ejaculation porn sometimes, which sounds ridiculous, but what can I do here? Put on Tinder, must come embarrassingly fast during sex, and how do people deal with guys who want to bang for 20 minutes straight? I've had about a half dozen partners now and just can't think of how to approach this.
That is the most made-up thing I've ever heard.
You think so?
Yes.
I think some women...
When she went to two-pump chump, you knew it was made up. There's always that one phrase that takes it away from where it sounds like it might be reasonable to, okay, somebody's...
Do you not think it's possible that there are women who prefer, like, who maybe feel some sort of power from being able to finish off a man rather quickly?
I don't know, but I can tell him if he has a problem where to go. Oh, I don't have a read for 4hims.com. Yeah, fake news.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm sure there's people who like that, but I think that was a fake letter.
I mean, I've been married, fortunately, for a long time, so I only have sex with one person ever. But if I were to have sex with someone different, like in my life, every time I've had sex with someone new, the first time, it's always embarrassingly quick. There's just too much buildup. There's too much pressure.
It always depends on how drunk I am.
Round two, I'm good. But that first time, I mean,
I'm really drunk,
I would usually let her know, hey, if we do this, it's not going to last a long time. And if you give me like 10 minutes and a glass of water, I'm ready to go again. But maybe a beef jerky if you've got some. But this first time, it's going to last about a minute or two. And, you know, pretty much true to form my entire life. That was how it worked out.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
You don't like this conversation?
I just...
What's your average sex time with your wife now?
Hell, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't have, like, a guesstimate of how long sex takes?
Depends. I mean,
for me now, it's probably about 10 minutes. Like, everyone talks about, like in the movies and stuff, they'll say, it'll go on for hours. Nobody wants it to go on for hours.
No.
No one wants hours of sex. Women don't want that. Men don't want that. I'm not in the greatest shape. I get tired after about 10, 15 minutes. If it goes more than 15 minutes, that's cardio work. I don't need that. I'm trying to have fun.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I can't believe you're just going to leave me hanging out.
I got no comment.
Wow. What a sport this guy is.
I can't talk about, well, let's just go to break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Sam Houston Race Park for the last two nights of quarter horse racing. And joining us now is track announcer Chris Griffin. You can follow him on Twitter at In The Grandstand. And the first thing he asks is, what did I just walk into here?
Well, Chris, how long have you been married?
3 years. Just had our anniversary, actually, May 20th.
Do you remember the first time you made love to your lovely wife?
Yeah.
Was it your wedding night, or did you guys actually break the seal
No,
before?
No. It was before. I mean, I'm 38, so I got married a little later in my age, yeah.
How long did you last the first time with her? Was it very quick?
Was it a quarter horse race or a thoroughbred race?
Yeah, that's a great quarter horse race or a thoroughbred race.
Because I was saying, every time I've been with a new person in my life,
yeah,
it's almost instant. And it, you know, once you get over, because there's like all the buildup of like, oh my god, something new and exciting,
right?
And it all takes over. But
right.
Then once you have, you know, relations with them multiple times, it becomes a little bit more routine. You can take your time a little bit more. You become more comfortable in the situation, and it lasts longer.
I can't say routine because I get in trouble with
that. Well, no, I mean...
Better preparation.
Right.
I think better preparation
that's fair, leads
to an extended type of race that I have worked my way up now to where I can run distance races instead of quarter horse races.
Now...
So like 870.
Now
so
here's...
We're in between.
870, right around the hook. Oh boy, there's more.
Here's the question. What if your wife said... I would prefer if we could go back to the beginning where it was almost instant. I need you to finish faster. I need you to be very, very quick. Do you think you could do it? If that was what turned her on.
This is a very complicated question.
Of course it is. That's why we brought it up.
If I'm playing Monopoly, I don't want to go all the way back to go. I want to just keep going around and around.
But you gain $200 every time you pass go.
Yeah, but then you could also get thrown in jail.
It's true.
And then you need a community card.
Listen, the name of the game is making your wife happy. Everyone knows this.
Correct. And my wife makes me very happy, so we're very happy together. We're going to celebrate our anniversary, and she's in Aruba, so she's probably not listening right now.
If this were to happen, I mean, you would be happy, and she would be happy at the same time. But do you think that mentally and physically you could take away all that extra preparation and go back to just being like a two-minute man?
I think with me and my wife, as long as we continue to make love, I think we'll be okay.
Oh, you still do that?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
You guys don't have kids, I guess.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Dogs.
Okay.
We have dogs.
Oh, that's different. Okay. Yeah. Once you have kids, all that stops. Yeah.
Thanks, Fred, for the backup. Everybody's got dogs.
Oh man.
Glad to be here.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Thanks.
It's pretty warm.
Thanks
pretty
for joining us. Yeah.
Fred passed that on to you because he didn't want to talk about it anymore. He was upset at me during the break.
No, I wasn't upset. I just don't want to talk about it.
You did kind of yell at me.
I just said I'm not talking about
it. Did he yell at me a little bit, Tyler?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's not yelling.
A little bit.
No,
you were salty.
I just said, I'm not talking about it.
Okay.
I'm cutting it off now.
And then you said, I'm serious.
And you can keep trying.
But you said, I'm serious.
I am serious because you keep trying. Because this is what you do. You're going to keep trying for the rest of the show. And I'm telling you, don't bother. You're going to just waste time on the show.
Okay.
That's my point.
Okay.
So only 2 days left of this thing, man.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to the racing here, we haven't talked to you since the Derby. What did you think of that disqualification?
I think it was magnified because of the type of race. For me, it did look like there was an infraction into the turn. When everybody says, you know, if this was a Thursday, of course this would be an easy DQ. You know, pass interference is in the Super Bowl like it is in the regular season. So, I mean, if there's an infraction or you feel like if you're a better and you had maximum security, of course you're going to disagree with the decision all day long. If you're a better and you had Country House, you're celebrating. If it's the other way around, you know, it's just they were in an impossible situation on the big stage, but I feel everyone in horse racing understands that we avoided a situation into that turn that could have been really bad. So the fact that they were able to get through that, War of Will seems to be the top three-year-old coming out of the group.
Yeah.
Would he have won the race? I don't know. But when a horse drifts out like that and impedes other rivals, it's I don't want to say easy takedown because that's not an easy DQ, but in my opinion, I think the correct decision was made. I think an inquiry should have gone up before the objection.
Yeah, so my whole issue with it is when you throw 20 horses out there, that happens every single year to somebody. It's just like holding in the NFL. You could call it every time.
Sure.
And, you know, why do it there? But
it's tough. I mean, it's a tough call because it's definitely a judgment call in that situation. This was not a cut and dry, obvious violation or terrible call. I think everyone's in agreement that an inquiry should have just gone up instead of an objection. That could have taken care of a lot of issues that arose.
Well, and for people who don't quite understand it, usually jockeys' objections don't ever get upheld. If there's an inquiry, though, that's when you should be concerned because that's the steward saw something and they're going to look at it first. And I think that was part of it, was a jockey's objection.
And an objection is essentially saying, hey, I think you missed something here during the race, and I'd like you to take another look at it. It's the biggest race that we have in our sport in North America. So, I mean, it's you know, when you're on that stage and there's three people in a room and they got to make a decision, and they're looking at those TVs very similar to a replay in the NFL now, and when they look at New York, it's a very tough call, and there's a lot of money on the line, and they made the decision, and now, you know, I will say from a controversy standpoint, it's better to kind of have this in the sport than anything else. I think some of that publicity and people paying attention and wanting to see some rivalries and a rematch possibly, you know, I think that's good.
Better that than a bunch of dead horses at Santa Anita.
Correct, and that's a whole other issue.
What's been the big story all year long.
Sure,
so.
And it has. And it's an area that we need to improve in as a whole and as a sport, and I think we'll take the steps that are needed, and it's going to be a road that we haven't traveled and taken on before, but we'll do our best.
Last two nights here of quarter horse racing, and as we wrap up the meet, Give me a couple of takeaways from this, the whole session here, basically from the thoroughbred meet to this.
Well, for me, I've been so impressed with the horses. When we talk about the whole meet, when we go back to the beginning of the thoroughbred meet, the Houston Racing Festival, if you kind of track some of the horses that came out of a lot of those races, they've gone on to win a lot of races around the country. So Houston, Texas, especially Sam Houston Race Park, was really well represented. Midnight Bisou is probably the top distaffer in the country right now. She ran in the Ladies Classic. She had a nice race here. It was a lot closer than people thought. Heaven Has My Nikki was finishing behind her. She went and won a graded stakes as well. Bigger Picture has gone on to win graded stakes. Market Off almost beat Bricks and Mortar, who's probably the top turf horse in the country right now. So there have just been a number of those horses that have now gone on, and it's fun to have called them, watched it, seen the good racing, and see them do what they're doing nationally, because it helps our product as well. You know, it shows that you can race during the Houston the Racing Festival. It basically sets up your campaign for the following season, so 2020, and hopefully we get some more big names. And Steve Asmussen, you know, he'll always have his top horses, and we get some of those horses, and we'll be off and running. So for me personally, those were big highlights. Midnight Bisou, I'm always going to remember, because that's probably the biggest name as far as a horse is concerned that I've called in my career so far. Handicapping has been a lot of fun, kind of tracking our picks back and forth and getting some new folks into the fold that either want to tell us we've got good picks or tell us we're terrible at making our picks. Trey Stiles has gotten into the mix, and he's doing a really nice job. And
Trey's a hell of a handicapper.
He's a great handicapper, and he brings a lot of data and a lot of just stats that I've never seen or really paid much attention to. And when he brings that, it does make you change your ticket. So, and he's done that during quarter horses. So I'm really interested to see once we get to thoroughbreds and he gets to give us more input, how well he's going to do in that form. Cause he'll probably qualify for the NHC tournament.
He does pretty much every year. Yeah.
He'll find a way to get there, and then he'll go to Vegas. And now I got somebody to root on. And I told him I get to text him now and bother him while he's at the tournament in Vegas and just give him a hard time and wonder, you know, who he's selecting and how he's going back and forth. And that's been a lot of fun, and being able to guess with you guys and kind of following you and going back and forth. And I think you're going to beat me for the total wins title. I think you got a pretty healthy lead. I think you went on like a 6-win run the other day.
Yeah, I had a pretty good day the other day, which I like needed after the damn Preakness. I've already told Trey I'm going next year. I'm going to qualify for that and try to cash in that. I'm going to try to cash in the main event of the World Series of Poker and try to cash in the Super Contest.
Okay.
And I figure if I could do that, that would be a pretty cool feat.
I think all things that you can achieve. It just depends on the time you put in. But then again, there's a lot of luck
Well, I think there's more luck probably in poker and horse racing than there is when it comes to sports betting.
Sure.
But there's definitely a big luck factor. So where do you head next?
So I'll be home for a couple weeks, taking a little bit of a refresher, kind of kick back a little bit. And then I'm actually headed out to California, so I'll be calling the California Fair Circuit again. Pleasanton will be opening June 14th, and then I'll be in the Northern California until end of August. Catch a few games, some ball games, and we'll see. I think the finals will still be probably going on. Yeah. So usually that area is pretty rocking with Golden State, and we'll see how many games that goes. But yeah, it's always a great time. I'm excited to be in California. I'm from SoCal, so for me to be in Northern California is always a great time. And for me to call year-round is a blessing for me to be able to call 10 months out of the year, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
well, I hope you're back next year.
Yes. As far as I know, everything seems to be aligned that I will be right back in the seat.
You got a bright future in this business. There's a chance that somebody big comes and snatches you up before then, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. There's always opportunity out there, and you evaluate opportunities as they come along. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, I'm very happy here. I had to cram in all my Houston activities, though. I went and saw the Dynamo the other day, and then I went and saw the Astros against the White Sox the other day. So I knew before I left I had to get all that stuff in.
Well, glad you got a chance to do it. You've done a great job, and other than one guy on Twitter who disagrees with me, I think you're a fantastic race caller and a fantastic handicapper. Enjoy your time.
It,
and I can't remember that guy's name, but I blocked him.
We know who he is.
Yeah, so enjoy your time in California. Hopefully you're back next year, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to tell you about now he's about to travel. We're going to travel to London. How about that? Thanks to Big Game Travel. And listen, the Houston team is headed to London to play Jacksonville at Wembley Stadium. This is a trip of a lifetime. And we've been talking about this with friends now. I was talking about it with Jordan today.
I thought about it with Lance Erline today. Lance might be on the same trip.
Jordan's talking about going. Everybody wants to go because this is going to be such a great trip to be able to go to London, five-star hotel, nonstop airfare, ticket to the game, they've got everything arranged, and it's only $300 to go ahead and make that reservation now, and you better do it because it's going to fill up.
Yeah, there's only 30 spots for the four-night trip, and that's what they're limiting it to, and that's what we're going on is just a four-night trip. So if you want to get on that, I mean, you better – there were 30 spots to begin with. I don't know what there are now, but if you want to go, you need to get that deposit down ASAP, and they set up everything for you. All you do is show up, and everything's taken care of. They offer a level of service that's unparalleled in the industry. You're going to get hotel, airfare, tickets to the game, transportation, pep rally, tailgate, all of this, and you're going to have all the you're going to be able to do all the touristy stuff in London if you want to do that. Visit biggametravel.com for more information. That's biggametravel.com, and come to London with us.
ESPN 97.5.